another person that I have watched and stalked and learned so much from over the years. And she has done a ton of great work. So we are going to do a fun session with her where she's going to have a little bit of content to share around intention. And then hopefully we can have some good amount of time for Q&A. So please put your questions in. But first of all, hi, thank you for joining.
Hi. Thank you for having me. So much fun. Really great sessions yesterday. So thank you for bringing us that amazing content. And Marianne, all those women owned businesses. I love that.
Amazing.
So yeah, really good. I'm going to talk about the opposite of digital events. I'm going to just show you a bunch of examples from really fun live events we've been doing over the last
year. Yeah, we want to talk about it. Thanks so much. Yeah.
Let's do it. I know that the slides are just going to come up. And what we're going to talk about first is, as probably a lot of people know, because I've got a lot of friends in this chat today, I wrote a book a few years ago, Intentional Event Design. And, oh, I think it says I have to share my slides again. Crazy. So I can just do them as, oh, there they are, right there. There we go. So what's your intention? Is the thing. So people-centric, purpose-driven principles. This is what I based all of the work that I've been doing for the last 2 decades on. Businesses invest in events because they provide a catalyst for behavior change leading to business growth. So this is, we're not talking about social events. We're not talking about really even fundraising events. Really, this is about, you know, events that have a business purpose. And that participants attend events because we crave face-to-face opportunities for learning and intelligent conversations with like-minded individuals. We all know we've been doing digital. We've been doing digital really well for a long time, but we still love face-to-face. So let's talk about some of those. So I looked at some intentions of things that we want to do. And the first was to build anticipation. And this was just a great example from Sites Incentive Summit America's program earlier this year. And we were fortunate to work with Imprint Events Group, and they just made it so much fun. But some of the things that we did is we told people it was a Moulin Rouge theme. And so they all packed and came dressed. And I was so nice to see people just fully embracing the theme. When we did our general session in the morning at 11 o'clock, it ended at 11, and people were going off to do some activities for the afternoon. Well, the MC for the evening, you can see him there, Seth, came up and he sang a song about the evening, reminding people to do really important things like shower after they finish their activities before they came to the event that evening. And then, of course, once they arrived, there was the playbill that was going to let you know what was going to be happening. So it was just it was so nice to be back at a live event that people were really, really embracing. I also love a goof theme, which is my favorite typo of the day so far. Intention, technology is embedded. We live with technology. We all have our phones. We all have our things going on, and we need to have them. If you guys can just throw in the chat, I would love to know how many people were at IMEX this year, and if they had the opportunity while they were there to go through this encore experience that they created. It was really a pretty incredible experience that people walked through. What you're seeing there is the very first piece of it. So they went in with iPads, scanned a QR code. They were able to then talk with a buddy about a serious industry issue we're having, diversity or sustainability, depended on which element they happened to be at. And they did that for about 10 minutes or so. And then curtains opened, they went through, there was a large screen, emotive experience that people just came out like, what? I want to help save the planet, which is really what we want. So it was technology being used very purposefully to tell a story. And again, we're doing that in large scale. And we are doing that you've never been, Chloe. Oh, my goodness. Now you've got something to add to your list. The other is a destination experience where they're using VR. Again, something that it's pretty common now. But it's just a really great way to think about how we're going to embed different aspects of technology into what we're doing. Reward and celebrate. Again, I would just love to know anybody who's familiar with the Above and Beyond Foundation. They did, Tanisha, put on a really wonderful immersion experience. All right. So also great name. So with the Reward and Celebrate, the Above and Beyond Foundation is a foundation that started a few years ago now. And who they reward are the back of house and frontline service workers, generally in hotels, sometimes with DMCs as well. And they started out giving $10,000 awards when they first started. So people who really needed help, they were recognized by their management, recognized by their peers as someone who was really going above and beyond. During the pandemic, they did a range of $500 to $3,000 awards to help those same people. And we were able to, at this event, work with them. And surprise, one of the housekeepers from the hotel, she thought she was coming there to see her boss get rewarded, was called up onto stage to win an award. And then her family came up from backstage. And really, you can't have those moments for the people who work so hard in our industry and not be connected to it. It was just really incredible. Something that we don't always have at an event, can-can dancers. But we really, again, this is a celebratory Moulin Rouge fun evening. Why not have a little bit of fun to break up the different elements that happen through the evening? So that's what we did. Building trust. This is the most important intention that we can, I believe, bring to a live event. And this was an event that we produced in Switzerland. And it brought 50 people together for a very deep experience. And this first night, we had 12 people from 10 countries, and we created a 5-course dinner together. Two of the people within this experience had just come from Poland, and this was in March, so the Ukraine war had just broken out. One of them had just finished planning a program for 500 insurance agents in Poland and joined us. And the other had just taken refugees into her home. And both of them came with the same attitude of the only way that we can help others is to help ourselves first, putting on our oxygen mask first. And so that's what they did. They came and joined us and really appreciated just the time to breathe and be with people they could really talk with about the vulnerability they felt for themselves and for our industry at this time and from that particular circumstance. I'll tell you when I knew that this was a very successful event was the final day. So remember, I was planning events for event planners. That's what I do. And so we had the final day of people go up, 25 people go up to the glacier, and they're going to go and have this amazing glacier experience. Well, as they get there, they make a weather call and the glacier closes, and they said, we can't do the experience. So typically what would happen at that time is I would get 25 messages from people across 4 different mediums telling me about this horrible thing had happened and their event was canceled, and nobody told me. So they, at that time, they were with a group of people that they enjoyed being with. The host of that group found a restaurant nearby. They all went out for a lovely 2-hour lunch, enjoyed delicious conversation, and were just happy to be doing that. I heard about it at 6 o'clock that night. So that was when I knew that they trusted that we were doing everything we could to give them the best experience that they had. And that was a really, meaningful moment for me in my career. I'm not going to lie. I'm used to hearing about things quite a bit more than that. Welcome them. So intentions, let's find ways that we can make people feel included. Now, probably roping somebody isn't going to make everybody feel included, but in this case, that was a lot of fun. And that was actually our keynote speaker. I'm going to tell you about what she did in just a second. But we're coming into Vail. It was this really great historic venue. This all made sense. It was really good. Another event we did was at the Guinness Storehouse. And so these are the drummers waiting outside. They were waiting for a long time before people arrived, busload by busload. And April was cool. And, you know, so I said, you know, couldn't you have costumes with sleeves? And the larger guy in the middle is like, I don't need sleeves. But this guy beside me was like, I could use some sleeves. So we just had some fun with that. But it was a great way to welcome people. They really felt a sense of presence as they came in, something that the site board of directors does at every event. At some point, they will create a gauntlet. And as people are coming through, they are high-fiving and cheering people in. And what a way to welcome them. A really simple thing that any association board could do, any corporate board could do. But what a fun way for people to come through. Immerse them. So we did a couple of exercises this year. One of them was a wine listening exercise. It's a group called Wine Listening. They're based in Italy. They have mapped more than 2 million wines, and they match the pitch and the tone of the wine with the pitch and the tone of music. And in their app, it pairs with your Spotify list. So you'll find the best music that you like to pair with the wine that you're drinking once you've scanned the label. Very cool concept. So what we were doing here was tasting wine. So we were blindfolded. We had on music, headphones. We listened to two different channels of music and could see how the wine would taste different with that. Chloe, you do want to go to a wine pairing sound event. It's amazing. And so what we did was, and I knew that this was going to happen. So we tried a white wine. We had one kind of music. We talked about it. Everybody took their blindfolds off and we talked about what we tasted. We put our blindfolds back on. We had another white wine, different music, tasted different. We talked about that. I knew this was going to happen. This was the same wine, but I can tell you that when I tasted it to two different musics, it tasted different. So really talking about those senses and how they can change. I just mentioned our roped up keynote speaker, Jessica, at the event that where she was the keynote. She talked about flow and productivity and breathing and just taking moments in our day to just refocus. And by the end of that keynote, we had everybody with headphones on doing gamma breathing. 2 years ago, I could not imagine asking 120 people sitting in the audience to gamma breathe with me. It completely reframed some people's lives. And from here, they went into a welcome reception, having different conversations because now they were focused and present on the event that was happening. They weren't distracted by their phones or by, you know, looking for somebody. They were all just like, okay, we're going to be present in this moment. And that was a really, really powerful thing to try. Keep it fun. Play is okay. Humans are collaborative. Humans are competitive. Games are fun, give us a sense of purpose. We talked about this with John Chen yesterday. We know that he is all about that engagement and that fun. You know, so whether they are playing golf, whether they are doing board games, whether it is a giant Scrabble, it doesn't matter what we do, a game in an app that can, maybe you're collecting photos and whoever has the best photo wins. There's so many ways that we can make it fun. We can't forget the fun, especially when we're together live again. Self-care, another really important intention. So this was, again, anybody who is at IMEX may have experienced this Be Well Lounge. We worked with in-house physicians who created an R lounge for us. R stands for rejuvenation. So you sat down in your lounger, you put on your blindfold, you had a little warm pack around you, you got your iPad and it went through a 16-minute guided meditation and you just came out a new person. It was quite amazing. And then of course, a lot of events include runs or yoga or morning Be Fit, different ways of doing that. But it's, we just now need to think a little bit differently about when and how we're integrating self-care in for people. It's, we're all, I think, a little bit more conscious globally about taking care of ourselves after spending so long at home. And it's something that we can embed into our events in a variety of different ways. Anything that you guys are doing, whether it's for self-care, whether it's for rewarding, whether it's things you've tried to build trust or have fun or play games, please put those in the chat. We'd love to talk about them. And any questions you have, just get ready to bring those up. Intention, just let it happen. So here we go. This was a very great yoga. We did morning yoga. So this was an event that was called Camp Tailwind. And it is a group of women entrepreneurs. And we were up in the north of Ontario, so about 3 hours past Toronto. In September, it was 0 degrees at night. The entire camp now owns Roots Onesies. The camp Tamaqua is owned by, it was founded by the owners of Roots. And so fortunately their tech shop, that's what they had. But we are very happy to get up in the morning with mittens on and just be in that space. It was very much a space where there was sessions on NFTs and cryptocurrency that happened on the beach. There was, you know, sessions about negotiation that happened in a hut. So there was lots of different ways of really making it fun, but sometimes you just have to let things happen. I don't know if this is going to, I don't think that that one is going to go. So no, it's not. There's just ways of, just so many ways that we can make space for serendipity. And I think that that's what we all appreciate. Triggering joy. So this is pretty fun. So Triggering Joy, this is Site Texas, was in the Dominican Republic, and their CSR activity was equipment, including uniforms for a local youth baseball team. Well, they got out there, they played a game with them, they got crushed. That was okay. But it was just really, it was a lot of fun for all the adults and all the children who participated. Lots of different ways, again, that we can have joy. On the other side, a woman named Precious Williams. Precious is a 13-time national pitch champion. She is a force of nature, unlike I've ever seen. And what she did with us at IMEX was she taught people how to pitch themselves better. And we didn't have any elevators, really, but we did escalator pitches. So she was stationed at the bottom of the escalator on Smart Monday. She would gather a group of people. Somebody would give a pitch about what they would say about themselves or their company. And then she would ride the escalator up with them, tell them how to do it better. They would come back down and redo their pitch. And it was so much fun. But it was also, people actually left. You know, people came up and found me later and said, I'm going to do a pitch tomorrow or next week or next month, and I'm going to do it better now. So those are the kinds of things you want when we start to talk about things still needing to be content rich. We can be content rich and still trigger a lot of joy. Tell your best story. So we were in Ireland again, and we really wanted to take advantage of the storytelling nature that is historically an Irish thing. And so on the final closing night, we were in the Museum of Literature, ironically, but we created some storytelling sessions. So people who didn't sort of naturally fit into content because they had these very rich stories came and did a storytelling session. We had no idea if it was going to be popular. Obviously it was. And it was really great. On the other side is a speaker named Drew Tarvin. He talks about using humor in the workplace. When he stopped to do a break, what happened was, you know, the baby started crying. And so we had a baby, and that was great. We loved it. Great storytelling does this. My interest has piqued. I care about you and your story. I want to know more. Ultimately, can we be friends? That is always my question. Can we be friends? And I love that I get to see so many friends here bring out their best. This is very fast. Two presidents, one for the Sight Foundation, one for Sight. In Ireland again this year. So much fun. Kevin in the church stands up. He said, oh, I'm going to sing you a song. Everybody laughs because they think actually he's going to just do a speech. And he sang two beautiful liturgical prayers because we were in this amazing cathedral for the leadership dinner. And there wasn't, you know, two standing ovations. He was like, I'm not sure if they liked it. I'm like, you just got two standing ovations. You know, so that was something that we could do that was very special for the audience and the participants and very special for him. So sometimes we get to do that. On the other, it was our closing session. How many of you have been to boring closing sessions? You're just like, oh, please, is this, okay, they've recapped the entire conference for me. Fantastic. Well, what we did is we poured everybody a Bailey's Irish Cream, passed out some pretzels and brownies, and we had a bar set up on the stage. We had our destination host and our president as the bartenders. We invited up our key sponsors, and then we found two people throughout the event that had really great stories to tell. One was a fourth generation Indian gentleman who was his first conference ever outside of India. And so he talked about his experience. And we found another young woman, 21 years old, fourth year university student, paid her own way to come to attend the conference because she just thought it was really important for her personal growth. You can bet she'll be back again. So really, really fun. Foster curiosity. How can I experience that? You know, edible helium balloons. I'm going to show you what that looks like. An oxygen bar when you are in the mountains. Perfect. Okay, so this is what you do with this helium, edible helium. It comes up as a big balloon. They put it on some candy. You suck in the candy, and then you talk like this, and it's really super fun. So I made a little video for my family. Triggering oxytocin, triggering happy endings. So important. And so we have my favorite thing about this other picture is this was the final night. I told you everybody didn't tell me about being trapped on the glacier during the day and not being able to have that experience. Now we're at the final night of that experience. They've written some haiku poetry about their experience so far. We put those in cards. We mailed them back to them 2 weeks later, which was a great idea from our friend Rude Janssen, who helped, you know, trigger that haiku moment. But in this picture, we have Kunal he's hugging the photographer. So I have no idea who took that picture. So I thought that was pretty great that we could do that. And just to recap, we need to be strategic. We need to be creative. We need to think of different ways of doing things. Creative value, which is what we bring as event professionals, comes from the right idea delivered by the right team. And that is, as you can see by the many different things I just shared, there's no one right idea. Use empathy, understand your participants' need, and create an inclusive event. Consider how to design for peak moments and happy endings, and just intentionally design every piece of your event. So I think that that's it. And there we go.
I love it. I mean, I love the idea of intention, because a lot of the things that you talked about were great ideas. I have heard about them from other people who were there, like, of course, all your IMAX activations in particular, but they're not necessarily like super expensive, or, you know, I think that's the piece that a lot of planners really have to do, is take a step back and just be intentional, really think about what is the experience that we want to create and how do we do that? And it doesn't always, I love the Precious Williams escalator up and down. I mean,
what I love is a speaker said yes to that. I'm like, I have a crazy idea. Do you think she would do that? Yes.
But it's also just like thinking of these ideas, that it's not, you know, rocket science. It's not $1 billion budgets to create these meaningful experiences. Yeah, a lot of people, you're getting a lot of the wow emoji. So lots of great ideas. Thank you for sharing. I'm sorry we don't have much time for comments, but I highly recommend that you guys follow up with Tahira. Get to follow all her work, because she does such interesting things. And do you want to do a quick plug for your book?
Oh, sure. I mean, absolutely. You know, it's, so I did write Intentional Event Design at the end of 2017. And I went back at the end of 2021, because I thought, oh, this is gonna be crap. I'm gonna have to rewrite the whole thing. We've had a pandemic. And I went back and I realized that no, I'd actually written really a lot of really good information that already covered digital and hybrid and virtual and live events and inclusion and wellness and all the things that are so important to us now. So I added 8 pages of lessons learned from 2022. It's on Amazon. And yeah, I mean, I feel really good about it. It's full of good tips and tricks and things that are going to help anybody who's planning events.
Yeah, you are one of many people who was doing digital and hybrid way before the pandemic. So of course it was forward thinking. Well, thank you so much for taking time to share all these ideas with us. Thank you. Always learn so much from you. Thank you.
Sorry, I was a minute over.
No, not at all. It's worth it. Always worth it. Thanks so much. Okay.